You are such a geek.
Geek. What is a geek? What is a geek?
What? You're a neo-maxi zoom dweeby.
What is a geek?
Portals, motor pants, fluff, blood, waveform, dweeby, dickhead, geek, geek.
My fault.
You're fine.
I know, but it's my fault. I want to apologize.
No.
I don't accept your apology because no one's mad at you.
You were.
Nuh-uh.
I got home late from the mic because I was going to go practice my joke at the mic last night, but I gave myself fucking super food poisoning from old chicken enchiladas.
Are you doing better now?
Oh, dude, my abs are tight as fuck from all that puking I was doing.
But you're done? You emptied out?
Yeah, dude. It was good. I mean, I knew that chicken was sus when I, like, I don't know. It was almost a week old, but I was like, I'm microwaving it. And then I was like, I tasted a cube of it, and I was like, that didn't taste good, but I bet it'll taste good on a sandwich with some cheese. And then I fucking ate a whole thing of it and then definitely paid for it.
Hold on. Before we continue talking about how sick you got, did you invent an enchilada sandwich?
That's what I heard.
I sure did. I sure did. Okay, so,
so you put
all the enchilada fixins
inside of a sandwich.
Well, okay, this was enchilada guts. This was enchilada guts. There was no...
Tortilla?
There was no tortillas.
Okay.
I like how we both said tortilla.
Yeah, I did too.
But yeah, so this was a deconstructed chicken enchilada sandwich with a Colby Jack cheese on toasted Italian bread. And all of that was delicious, except for the rancid chicken and onion mixture.
God.
That made me puke.
Mitch, I forget that you haven't lived outside of the purview of the family for a while. If food,
yeah, dude,
if food's
been
more than 3 days
captivity.
Old, it's not your food anymore. It's the trash's food.
I disagree, and I ate food the last 2 days that was about a week old, give or take. I feel like my fridge is really good at its job, and I feel and I'm good. I don't know.
Well, me and 60
yeah, dude,
Minutes and like CBS News and everyone ever agrees that that's not true.
What about, I feel like, what about Thanksgiving leftover? Like holiday leftovers have extra power because they're like a higher level of food, right? So they have good staying power.
I don't know. How many times do you want to get food poisoning next year?
But wait a minute.
I don't have shit left over from November, Jake.
But that's assuming that this was like the first time he's done this. Do you think that's the first time that he's done this? So let's look at...
Oh, it was the first.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I think his family would throw that food out before Mitch's paws could get on it at the old fridge.
I eat that shit. I'll eat shit way... I feel like way past, but maybe not way past. I don't know. We're kind of gross over here. Ez will drink a cup of coffee over the course of the week.
That's fucked.
It's disgusting.
That is fucked, dude. That is fucked.
Dude, that makes me... Is Ez okay?
No. Did you just hear what he just said? That's not okay. Holy shit, dude.
Over the course of a week?
I feel like...
Okay, wait. This has become like broadcast eats right now. But, okay, so you're telling me... How does she keep the coffee fresh?
She'll just microwave it.
And so she doesn't was the answer. The answer was she doesn't.
She doesn't.
Oh my God.
I'm so.
She doesn't do it so much
I'm
anymore.
So.
But yeah, she did it for a while. Like I'd find a cup of coffee in her car or whatever. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she'd just keep it. I don't know.
Do you need me to edit this part out so she doesn't kill you for telling everyone her deep, dark secret?
Oh, no, I tell people. I mean, you know...
I'm going to have a chat with her about this next time I see her.
I am almost the definition of WYSIWYG, right? What you see is what you get. And she knew that going in, and I haven't changed much as far as how I conduct myself, just necessarily what I say.
Yeah. Man.
You know what
I mean? I'm still really blown away by you just eating week-old food. Do you think you have superpowers? Superpowers was a Freudian slip. Do you think you have superpowers because you grew up in New York City on a pile of rat feces and that your body had to adopt to toxins?
I don't know.
Yeah, dude, that's probably what it is.
It's possible. No, I mean, when I say a week, I don't really, it's not like I write a date. We talked about that so that we can avoid that, but I've done like 4 or 5 days. For sure. I mean, even yesterday, I ate a dish that we made, would have been on Wednesday. So, yeah, I guess it was about a week. It was greens, though. It wasn't, there was no, like, meat. This was just a greens dish with garlic.
Oh, that's better.
This is why we got to get a Patreon, so we could buy good, like, new food.
But I did eat, those arepas were a few days old. At least. I don't even know when we got them. But I had... Oh, wait. New Year's Eve.
When did you eat them?
Today.
That's only 4 days. That's not... That's 3 days. 4 days.
It was... She got them Sunday morning. So, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 4 days. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's not bad. And, like, I think 3 days is just, like, the safe move on everything. But I'm sure certain things are good for the fourth, fifth. It's just as a single man who has nobody here to take care of me when I poison my own ass, it became like a hard rule in my 20s of like 3 days and then it's the trashes.
That's fair. I mean, I did.
That's going to be my.
Go ahead. It's going to be your what?
No, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I did eat about week old eggplant that I made stir fried. I was actually cautious about that, but as I was eating it, I was like, I think it's fine. And then I just ate enough of it where I don't know. But I'm still here, so I think we're okay.
It's your sewer powers.
It took us 321 episodes to find out that Matt has sewer powers.
Yeah. He's like a Ninja Turtle, but above ground.
Right.
Right. Dude, he is from New York, dude.
I know. He wasn't the boy who got blinded, but Matt was eating in a pizzeria behind that and got caught by some stray radiation that gave him sewer powers.
Sewer power.
Yeah.
Leftover man.
Scrape up sewer powers.
All right, so what are we watching these days? And yeah, we are on episode 321 of the Broadcast Geeks. I am Matt Oren.
I'm Jake Becker.
I'm Midnight Mitch Jones.
Yeah.
Okay, Jake, you did tease me a lot about me watching Baywatch a lot this
week.
Yes,
I did.
I had a paid week off, and I did nothing but watch Baywatch.
Well, also
not nothing.
While also complaining to me that you just don't have time anymore to watch things while you just pounded Baywatch.
Maybe it felt longer because of the mind-altering substances.
Okay, you had a lot of episodes to talk about, Mitch. I think you watched a lot of Baywatch.
No, but the one thing I want to talk about lost media in that sense, but I did. You bullied me. I watched the first 3 episodes of the new What If season.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched any of that.
Yeah, dude. So your bullying worked.
See, productive bullying. Bring it back, folks.
Yeah. Jake just had to... every time I opened up my window blinds, Jake was out there doing this move. He was doing this. He was going... He was just doing the fist pound, and that's like a tantamount tough guy move. So I was like, God damn it, Jake. You drove all the way up from Trinidad just to threaten me.
Yep.
So I watched the first 3 What Ifs.
Nice.
That first one, I wanted to be like, fucking loved him. Can't remember at all what the order of them was.
I was just...
The first one was, no, Nebula was the cop, right?
Is that the first one?
Nebula joins the Nova Corps.
I can't remember because I watched all nine and it did the same thing the first season did where it kind of culminates. So.
And it blends together?
Yeah. The order of them, because it doesn't really matter, is kind of lost in my brain. The first three, though, okay. did you get Peter Quill?
Yes. So the first one's What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps?
Okay.
Which was cool. I really didn't give a shit about Nebula until Guardians 3. And I really liked that episode. Basically at the end where she gets the Yondu fin. That was cool. Sorry, spoilers, Matt.
It's dope as fuck. It's like a really... It's like kind of a blend between like a... It's like a kid's version retelling of like, what do you call it? Blade Runner? And a little bit of like Die Hard.
Yeah. How many episodes?
But there was a lot.
I should say.
You got to eat that mic.
Sorry.
Me?
No, Matt.
Yeah. How many episodes of What If are there?
9. Or 18 now, but 9 this season.
Oh. Okay.
9 this season. But yeah, the first one was What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps? She ends up... Like, there was a lot of weird... Like, Korg was at the bar. And Howard the Duck was a pretty good, like, main character for that episode.
Yeah, like, very involved.
Yeah, that was cool to see Howard. The dude, Jude Law, Jon Rog, was like the other guy.
Yeah, and it was Jude Law, and it didn't sound like Jude Law, which was weird.
Sure didn't. It sounded like someone doing it, like, oi, mate, I'm fucking Jude Law. And it's like, do you know what Jude Law sounds like?
Yeah, when I saw the credits, I was like, no shit.
Dude, I definitely have to pause it to see who's a real, like, doing their character's voice and who's stand-in. There's another episode I'm gonna call that is exactly that same thing. The second episode, well, the episode, we'll get to it in a sec, but like the other one, the Peter Quill one, where Peter Quill is
attacked Earth,
he lands on Earth in what? Yeah, and what is that? Is he in the 80s?
Yeah, the it's What If Yondu had handed him off.
Yeah, I really like that Avengers team of like Peggy Carter, Howard Stark as like the guy in the chair, basically. And then they got T'Chaka, they got Bucky, they have Mar-Vale under Dr. Wendy Lawson, Hank Pym. I did think that Michael Douglas was pretty funny as like the main character in that one.
Yeah, that was a good pull.
And then who else is in? Oh, Bill Foster. They got Lawrence Fishburne back for that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool-ass Avengers team fighting young Peter Quill in the 80s.
Goliath, is that who he is?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. They brought him back from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, that was rad as fuck.
Like,
what's the big, and you could spoil it, what's the big reveal at the end or lead-in? To the MCU.
Jake, I don't want you to reveal it because I'm actively watching it.
Mitch isn't there yet. It doesn't start becoming obvious until later in the season.
Because I just got up through the third one, and the third one is how Happy Hogan saved Christmas.
That one's so good. He goes full fucking Hulk.
Yeah, Happy Hogan gets the Hulk blood. That's one of those ones where I was like, okay, for sure that's not Robert Downey Jr. playing Tony Stark. But at the end of it, that's the one where I paused it and I was like, what the fuck? It's totally sounded like someone doing a bad Jon Favreau impersonation.
I agree.
The whole time. And I was like, what? That was actually him?
Yep, that one got me as well. That was another one where
I was like, no.
What?
Do they have everybody, pretty much, except for Chadwick?
No, they don't have Tony. They don't have Chadwick.
They don't have
Thor's
Chris
not
Evans.
Doing... Yeah, it's...
Got it.
It is Chris Hemsworth.
It is Hemsworth. I meant Evans. I was thinking Chris's. They don't have most of the big dollar ones or anybody who's left. What Lake Bell does fucking Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, she's Natasha.
And it's insane how good Lake Bell is at doing somebody she knows. It's crazy.
Yeah. Lake Bell as ScarJo.
Sounds more like Scarlett Johansson than Jon Favreau sounds like Jon Favreau. And it sounds more like Scarlett Johansson than Jude Law sounds like Jude Law.
Yeah, no shit, dude. For real. Shout out to Lake Bell.
Yeah, dude.
I love her as Poison Ivy.
Do you think she had to audition to do ScarJo? Because she's already playing herself.
Mm. Who? Lake Bell?
Lake Bell.
She was playing herself in what?
She's the Shield lady.
Maria Hill?
Is that what it is? Isn't she Maria Hill? What? Or is that the white ladies that get confused with each other?
No, that's Kobe.
No, it's Kobe Smulders.
Yeah, and I have consistently gotten those two ladies confused. They've been the same to me since Maxim.
That's Lake Bell. And that's Kobe Smulders. That's as far as I got. But like the next one's an Iron Man one, so I'm really stoked on that.
Dude, it's so cool. It
looks good. I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah. It's well done.
Yeah, dude. I'm stoked on that.
I have one beef.
Yeah, what's that?
What's the beef?
The beef is that it was only a 9-episode season, even though the first season was supposed to be 10, and it got cut short because of production with COVID. And so now they're just like, 9's a season. And it's
they're probably just trimming the fat as a result of, comments that Iger made as far as just they're just making too much stuff that doesn't really.
I don't think that's true.
I do. I think they made too many sequels.
I think they made too many things that weren't well thought out, but I don't think it's that they made too many things. I think they could have made just as many things, and if it was done well, there'd be literally no issue.
But I think they really diluted when they make three sequels to any of these characters and just add maybe a little bit of a glimpse of a character that's going to show up later and possibly be important.
No, I agree. That's what I mean. That's what I mean by like not well thought out, where they're just doing it because it's the natural move instead of doing it because it's necessary. I mean, that's kind of what's wrong with like Iron Man 2, is that they just don't really have a whole lot to say, and so it ends up being kind of shitty in a bunch of directions. And same with a bunch of the later sequels. I think a lot of the later sequels are guilty of the same shit as a couple of the early sequels that people give a pass to because it was new and fresh.
Because it was the early sequels. Yeah.
Like, I don't think any of the new shit is any worse than Civil War. Or not Civil War, I'm sorry. Winter Soldier or Thor the Dark World. You know what, though?
I think, personally, that the Captain America sequels are the best for the overall product, because I don't feel like they're just Captain America movies, and I feel like they really move the goalposts a lot for the overall MCU. I don't think the Thor sequels did. I don't think Iron Man sequels
did. Ragnarok kind of did.
Well...
Love and Thunder did too, but they were moving a chess piece that was so far out in the game
that it
doesn't feel like a real payoff. Like having Eternity and Love show up, like when's that going to pay off? In 6 years?
I don't think that movie was really that great in retrospect, especially compared to the others. Like, was it funny? Absolutely. Was it fun?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But is it necessary? Absolutely not.
Same with Multiverse of Madness. Like, really, the only part of that that mattered was that you got a couple of Easter eggs that I guess are knowledge building. And then at the end, you get to see him and Hera rip open reality. But everything in between kind of didn't need to happen. It didn't move the story forward at all.
Yeah, I mean, I loved Ragnarok, and that might have been one of my favorites of any of the movies. But not because of what I'm arguing. Not because, you know, it really helped move the goalpost, so to speak, for the MCU. I like a lot about it. Same thing with the multiverse, because I love Sam Raimi.
Yeah. It's a fun movie, but it's wholly unnecessary in this 26 movie anthology.
Right. But I'm glad I had it because I do like the... I liked when they started making the Marvel movies, but kind of as other genre type films.
Yeah. No, I like that too. That's why I like Winter Soldier, is that it's more of like a spy movie. Exactly.
It's a spy movie, and it's a wonderful spy movie.
Right. And that appeals to us, but I also think that they've been guilty of it for a long time, but it used to pay off for them, so they didn't adjust, and now they're blaming like the output instead of like the quality, and they're trying to act like if they lower the output, it'll up the quality, which I get in theory, but that's like talking about a factory with a limited amount of lines that you can produce on. Mm-hmm. Like, these are all different people working on all these projects, and they all have a set amount of time to do them anyway, so... How does lowering the output increase quality unless Feige literally has to be on set to make shit work, which I don't believe is true?
I think it used to be true. I don't know how much true it is anymore. I mean, that's just a wild guess on my part, so I don't know shit about fuck really about that, but I don't know. I get what you're saying. Like, if you decrease the output, that also decreases the revenue that you can make with your product. Therefore, devaluing your studio.
Yeah,
and that goes to what Iger is saying. I don't think it's necessarily. I think it's trying to change the mindset of having to make as many movies as you can to get those returns. Because it's funny how they argue. Oh, this is the poorest performing Marvel movie out there, but it still makes over $100 million profit.
Yeah, and all movies are really doing poorly right now. So when they try to act like this is this big Marvel fatigue going on, it's like, well, no, statistically all movies are doing worse.
But the mindset of having to make all those movies does dilute your overall product.
Yeah.
And I think if they rein it in a little bit, it forces them to put out more quality than just quantity.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
I think much like the old stuff, though, I think a lot of this will be better in retrospect once it starts to pay off. I also think Marvel should quit announcing their plans 7 years out.
I agree.
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea. But they ended up having to do that because there's so many people that are like, so what's like the plan? Like, you know, people that have weekly podcasts about it.
Yeah, but they really do it for investors. They do it in an investors meeting.
Right.
They're doing it for people that are investing, so they'll have faith in these movies that nerds talk about.
Right. Yeah.
But that also works into a corner where then everybody's speculating, like, what are they going to do about Kang? They already told us Kang was the whole thing. What are they going to do?
They're going to recast that other guy.
Yeah.
DC, whatever his name is.
Yeah, but if, like, you know, after Iron Man 1, they were like, we're going to do Armor Wars with Rhodey eventually. And then they were like, oh, fuck, we got to replace Rhodey. People would have been like, well, what's that going to mean? Instead of it just being like, hey, we'll see you at the next one.
Right.
I don't know. And they could announce plans a couple years out, like shit that's actually in production.
Oh, yeah. Colman Domingo is rumored to be considered as a replacement.
Yeah, he's done a couple of interviews that make it sound like he's already done it.
I don't know much about him. Looking at his IMDb right now.
Steven Yeun's out as Sentry.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. But
scheduling issues. I mean,
he's great and Invincible.
Well, and I mean, they hired the beef writer to take over the Thunderbolt script after they decided to hire Steven. So the fact that, like, his scheduling's fucking it up. is bad. But people are trying to speculate that he was quitting because he didn't want to be a part of Marvel. And it's like, no, he had already like talked the studio into doing a lot of shit. He must have an awesome opportunity in front of him.
Yeah. Right.
Well, what would be the... I mean, I'm sure he does okay. He's been in enough things that he can make that money. But it makes me wonder, like, what kind of actor would pass up on being in a Marvel film? Like, someone who's truly about acting? Because, I mean, you can get paid and then do as much indie shit as you want, and it wouldn't make a difference.
Right. Well,
I think, like, didn't Jeremy Allen White turn down a Marvel?
Yeah.
Because he's the kind of guy that is more probably a purist about acting. I mean, he's in the Iron Claw movie, right? He plays one of the Von Erichs.
Yes, I still need to see that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I need to see that.
I think also, like, if you're an actor who knows your work style, mm-hmm. that it's probably not super attractive to, like, whole swaths of people to work that way. It's a lot more labor intensive than any other acting job you can get, almost. Like, you have a personal trainer and a nutritionalist, and you have to do everything they say for fucking 2 years, and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you walk with 20 million or whatever.
Yeah, but it might, like, Robert Downey Jr. didn't have any gray in his fucking beard when he started.
Or, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. That guy can't complain, though, about anything.
Well, he left because he was tired of it, and then now is trying to figure out a way back in, it sounds like.
doing something and being, you know, inherently part of it for an extended period of time is two different things. You know?
Yeah, like, but
you
much can in get the in way...
and do three movies and then enroll, boom. Yeah.
But much in the way that we were saying, like, Steven Yeun probably doesn't need it. Like, Downey Jr. definitely did. And obviously still kind of does. So...
Well, the allure. I mean, remember, he used to suck dick for cocaine.
Right. And I think, like, he got a little high on the fact that everybody in the world kind of thought his shit was the best as Tony Stark. And was like, well, I'm going to leave and watch what else I can do. And now he's like, hey... Tony could come back to life, right?
But Kevin Feige said they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but I bet they use him in alternate shit and Secret Wars, and Feige has lied before, and yeah.
Feige lied, Becker cried.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that movie.
Right? Well, I don't know, man. I don't even know what even is the next Marvel movie. Like, we're kind of in, like, uncharted waters here.
No, what's the next movie?
Yeah, that's a good question. We know what it is. Let's look it up. Fantastic Four, maybe, or?
No.
No, that's got to be way far off.
Well, they have Echo coming out on TV, I know. And Deadpool doesn't count.
Oh, shit.
Deadpool, right?
Why doesn't Deadpool count?
Deadpool does count.
Oh, well, then it's this year, right?
Yeah, it's July, right? Yeah.
Let's see. They have an Agatha series coming out.
Yep. Madam Web isn't.
How much you want to bet that doesn't come out?
It will. They're already in production, Mitch.
I think they could put as... I think they could do... All right. What I'm complaining about them doing with the movies as far as diluting, I think they could do with TV, and it's totally fine. And it doesn't affect the overall product very much.
See, I don't know, though, because I feel like the TV shows are part of the problem, because I think like that's where the fatigue is when people have to watch 20 hours of Loki to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, like, that show on its own is almost as much as half of the fucking MCU to watch to get caught up. And, like, I think these shows, even though they're great and they explore different facets of the universe and I can't get enough of them, I think they contribute more to the fatigue than the films do 1,000%.
Oh, absolutely.
So then they shouldn't tie him so... They shouldn't make him so entrenched in the movies that you have to see all of it to see the movies. Because I think they could just make a really good killing on putting out all these quality shows that are fun to watch. They're more like comic books because you're getting them in arcs. You know, you're getting them serialized. I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But just like comic books, that's what wears everyone out of comic books eventually. Is being like, well, yeah, but then they did that event where I had to have every fucking series and I just couldn't spend $120 a week or read that right. much. So,
I had to buy three issues of Wolverine, two issues of Hulk, yeah. one issue of the main series event book. Yeah.
And like that's what wears people out even on the comics is when they start to over cross over. Like, there's something to be said about universe building, but at a certain point, when you have to know everything about everything to enjoy anything, it starts to be tedious. And those TV shows, I think, add to that a lot. Because I think a lot of people feel like it's homework. Like, Mitch hasn't watched a lot of the shit, but he was watching Baywatch. And I think that's because in his head, he gets to procrastinate away from this, like, homework, and then he can do, like, some relaxing TV watching. Whereas like a movie event
that's
3 or 4 times a year is easier to swallow than all that homework that they give people.
You're right. That's totally what it is. Because I'm like, look, if I just watch a couple episodes of King of the Hill, then I can watch. I'll just watch a couple episodes of King of the Hill, and then I'll watch Secret Invasion or whatever. And then by the time it's like it's 2 in the morning and I'm like, oh, no time for Secret Invasion. Just going to fail that test when I see Professor Becker on Tuesday.
Right. But like for real, not joking. Like it's because you're making it like a thing you have to do in your head instead of realizing that like you'd love to watch Secret Invasion. You'll have a great time. It's the thing you love to do. But because you need to do it for understanding, it feels like work.
Yeah.
I need to do this for understanding is a funny sentence, but no, you're right, dude. Like, I don't know. I've also feel like I had Secret Invasion poisoned for me because I try to like not watch all the YouTube analytical channels that I watch, like Mr. Sunday Movies and like Captain Midnight and all that shit where they talk about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I did watch those, and it kind of made me be like, oh, maybe I don't have to watch Secret Invasion, because it seems like the general overall, everyone except Jake Becker is saying that it's not that great.
It's fucking great. Dude, all these people, that you know what's going on? This is the other part of fandom that sucks, is I think that...
Lay it down, Jake.
I think that YouTube reviewers and all this media that exists there for nerds... is turning very much into like early aughts CNN and Fox News where they're just like,
oh,
we have to put shit out. I need an opinion. I can't just come on here and be like, I'm happy again, which is what I do. Like you can have normal complaints with shit, but the fact that they just pick on everything and have to rip it apart, and because they don't have any actual problems with the Marvels, then they start talking about what Brie Larson does in interviews. And it's like, yo, you shut the fuck up.
But see, you're right. A majority of those YouTube reviewers are that type. I just want to say that Mr. Sunday Movies is not that kind of it.
Well, I don't think it's even, like, conscious. I don't think these are bad dudes who are like, I just have to be a contrarian to fucking have something. I think that they're just overcritical watching everything because they know they have to make content.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean... Fuck, I can't even imagine if we had to make YouTube videos.
3 times, 4 times a week?
Hey, Mitch, did you watch that show? No. End of video.
Yeah. Dude, most of those guys put out videos longer than the episodes talking about the episodes for each thing.
Right.
We should make our own what if. Like, what if Mitch watched Jake's recommendations?
What if Mitch was the advocate for Apple TV?
Yeah.
Speaking of, I want to watch that Godzilla show now because I saw Godzilla Minus One and I'm hooked on the fucking Zilla lore, even though I'm a Kong boy for life.
I'm mad at both of you for not being caught up on it because I want to talk about tonight's episode so fucking bad.
Talk about it. Oh, well, Matt probably doesn't want you to spoil it.
Except for tonight.
Okay. Oh, shit, though.
I thought it comes out tomorrow. I didn't realize it came out tonight.
The Friday on Apple TV means 7 p.m. on Thursday.
Ooh.
And that's for all their products.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, when's the season of this over? Next
Thursday at 7 p.m.
Okay. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to get a free trial of Apple TV so I can watch this fucking show.
Was that live for me or was it for you, Mitch?
What?
I said, was that live for me or was it for you?
You know I don't lie to you, baby.
So it was for you.
Except for every week. No, dude. For real, though, I got Godzilla fever. And the only solution
is Kurt Russell.
It's more cowbell.
So all right,
it's Kurt Russell.
I will say this, though. I do like the show. I also feel that it's been a little slow and soap opera-y. But I've really enjoyed it, as well as the monster attacks. They've been great.
Yeah.
When
you watched the first couple, when you were behind at the beginning and you were like, there's not enough monsters, I was like, they're coming. They're just building the world, but they're coming, man. I wanted to tell you.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And it's cool how they're addressing it. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not really tied in at all to the Godzilla Minus One, which I want to talk about extensively because I fucking love that movie.
Right, yeah, that is totally separate from the universe we're watching.
But this is a good show because there's cool stuff happening, and it's really I'm curious to find out why Kurt Russell is the way he is and just
dude,
it's good.
You're one episode away from finding out, dog.
Oh,
yeah. The next episode they show you why Kurt isn't as old as he should be.
Yes, Mitch, you should watch this show,
dude.
The
reveal at the end of this last episode is fucking cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
I was very asleep. I was like drooling on my shirt, falling asleep in my chair, and then that show got me so hyped I woke up for this.
Wow. All right.
Jake went full Pingo.
Dude, I went full Mitch Jones.
So, Mitch, tell me what you thought about why do you like Godzilla Minus One?
Well, first of all, it was a sub, not a dub. You had to read it. I'm not really a book guy, but I'll read a movie. What?
No, I'll read a movie as well. I have a bias where I really like getting high with a blowtorch, so I have to use my eyes to run my pipe while I'm watching a movie in my living room.
Yeah.
Right.
So subtitles suck because there's a lot of pausing going on. But other than that, I can't complain. Right.
I prefer to read movies. Like everything I watch with subtitles. I prefer it.
Right. This one, sometimes I have to turn subtitles on because, like, especially in some of these newer, like, prestige television shows where everybody talks like this, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, every fucking piece of dialogue's like this. Oh, yeah? Well, it can be like this. Like, I can't fucking hear. Like, it's, I'm like a dog looking at a fucking frequency. I can't, like, place where it is. But I don't know, dude. Maybe in tip, like, this maybe shows how much of a dumb guy I am. I got tired of reading and I fell asleep for like 5 to 15 minutes during Godzilla Minus One. Like, that's a classic dumb guy move. I'm tired from reading all these words.
But when did you fall asleep?
Apparently I fell asleep where like none of the action was happening because it was when the main dude went to go get the mechanic so he could fix up the plane so they could do their final run.
Yeah, dude, that was so great at the end.
You know, like when you fall asleep during a movie and you're like, I could have been falling asleep for like 5 minutes or maybe like a whole hour and a half. I don't fucking know. Sucks. Like I just did the baby head thing where I was Yeah, but I didn't know that Godzilla, and I don't know if this is like true of like all of the Godzilla lore, but I didn't know Godzilla was like a regular 25-foot reptile monster, and then Americans bombed the shit out of Bikini Atoll and made him into Godzilla that size.
Is that a new version?
Yeah, that's not necessarily what happened. I mean, they know that different lore has shown that our bombing has caused that. But we never saw a smaller Godzilla that just got elevated by the nukes. So
right, because the original...
I thought that was a cool story aspect of it.
It is, because that's what it is. But because the original Godzilla was kind of like... an artistic response to all the fears that we generated by irradiating their fucking country to high hell. Right. So, like, part of their right. obsession with kaiju and this whole thing, even going back culturally, is that we did this thing that made them scared, and then they explored it through a monster. So to go back now and make the telling that, like, that's what created it, because it is kind of, in reality, what created it, is good art.
Yeah. Well, fuck, man. Like, I thought, like, it's the original Godzilla lore where, like, Godzilla always existed but was awoken by the bombs? Or is that how it went originally?
No, I think that's... No, he was created by the bombs, you know? But then later on, it went from, like, he was attacking Tokyo and then he became its protector. I mean, there's, like, 30-something Godzilla movies, so it's... It's hard to keep track.
But when Toho started it, Godzilla was just an ancient monster from the sea, a la Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there wasn't an explanation of why Godzilla existed other than like it was an ancient monster from the sea that we don't understand. And it's terrifying. Kind of the same way that when like Fat Man and Little Boy fell out of the air, they didn't have, like, a whole lot of explanation of what that shit was other than, like, shadows are now on walls forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so, like, that's part of it. And then when Toho really sat down to make the lore, they made it closer to what they're doing in Monarch right now. Like, Matt Fraction's following a lot of the old Toho story Bibles pretty closely. As far as the portals and the underworld and all that shit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And he like, well, I mean, but the monster verse that started with 2014 Godzilla is not the same Godzilla as like the 1950 movie, right? It's not the same guy. It's just a different iteration.
Yeah, it's just a totally different telling of the same stories.
Now, Jake, have you seen it? Minus one?
No, they showed it at the theater here, but only in the conference room, and I didn't feel like watching that movie in a folding chair. So
that's fair.
I'm waiting until I can watch it on my TV.
It, man, I liked it for multiple reasons. One, I thought the action scenes were pretty spot on, especially for the $15 million budget. That's what this movie came in at, about $15
million. Yeah, but Toho made it in Japan.
It was made in Japan.
Yeah, so a bunch of Koreans were getting treated poorly to make it that cheaply.
Maybe.
100%.
The thing is, what I really liked was how the cultural aspects of the Japanese and life, even during the war and after the war, how much of the story it is.
Right.
You know, like this guy is a pilot, a kamikaze pilot that shied away from it and pretended like his plane was jacked up.
Yeah, faulty.
So he goes back to Japan and there's more that happens, but he goes back to Japan and has to deal with the shame of being with, you know, someone who doesn't have his honor because he didn't achieve his purpose. And then he
didn't give his life for the empire.
And then he finds this woman
of Japan
with a baby, and he's fucking judging her. And it's like, whoa, man. And it turns out that's not even her baby. She just found it because there was all this wreckage. And I'm not spoiling anything. Like, this is just a deep part of the story. I really liked it.
I liked how they became, like, over the years, they became a family, yeah. pretty yeah. much. That was cool. Also, I really liked those action scenes. When the Godzilla was swimming off around, like, behind that boat.
Yeah, he's just going, like, kind of back and forth a little bit.
Did you think that Godzilla looked kind of cute when he was swimming like that? I did too. I was like, ah, look at him go.
He had a little smile on his face, like he was about to eat some Japanese yeah. food.
So I just double checked because it's but like to me. Not all yeah. kamikazes died. Like that wasn't their only mission.
Somebody told that to me as well.
It's weird that the Japanese people do this with their culture, where they lean into stereotypes about them that make them sound badass or good.
That's fair.
Even if they're not like 100% true, and it's weird to me in an honor-based society how willing they are to be like, that is true.
To lie and be deceitful.
We are better at math than you, 100% top to bottom, all of us. Like, they culturally lean into shit you'd think they'd be offended by because it's so obviously not true, and they're like, yes, it is. And you're like, oh, okay, wow.
I loved how they made Godzilla look in this.
He looks badass.
Yeah.
He looks bad. Or she? Ass, especially when he charges up.
Isn't it she in this one?
I don't.
In minus one?
Somebody said, I thought I was reading something that said it was a she, or maybe they plan on it being a she and there's going to be.
Well, it might have been a she because in the old Godzillas. They had a young one, right? Godzuki?
Yeah, dude. Godzuki from the animated series.
Well, no, he was originally from a movie.
I know, but the animated series is where Godzuki really
shined. Little Zooks. Young Zooks.
Did you ever watch the animated series?
I thought I did a little bit.
I don't think so.
Fucked up, Mitch. It's another show you didn't watch.
I think I saw that animated series that came out after the 98 Godzilla movies. It was on Kids WB.
Oh, yeah, where they had like a badly drawn Broderick. That'd be a good band name.
Yeah, yeah. And like badly drawn I saw badly drawn Broderick at the fucking marquee,
yeah, dude,
bro.
They ripped.
That's a hard name to say.
BDB?
Yeah, I can't wait till Godzilla comes out on streaming. I want to watch it again. I might even go to the theater again. Fuck it.
Yeah, dude. It was good. When they... this is not really a spoiler, but they try to kill Godzilla by... When he's swimming after the boat, they drop a mine in his mouth and blow it up. And fucking Godzilla gets a hole blown in his fucking head. But then he... Wolverines that shit back to like
whoa,
health.
So there's
Wolverines
all kinds of new lore shit. In this one. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like Godzilla gets fucking two-faced and they're like, haha, and then it's like
to be fair though, we don't know what Godzilla did in Monarch when they nuked its face.
Right.
They nuke one in Monarch, Mitch, and then that motherfucker's just okay.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Well, isn't like a lore thing that if you bomb the nuclear blast created Godzilla, but if you bomb the Godzilla as is now, the fully nuclear powered Godzilla, it just powers him up.
That has been lore before, but again, in this version that they're doing all the tie-in movies and series and Kong versus fucking Godzilla and all that shit, it's Godzilla and Kong and all these monsters exist in the inner Earth.
So that's where they went in Godzilla versus Kong.
So we didn't create them with bombs. They've existed and come about on their own evolutionary path down there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they all...
Then how'd they find their way to the surface?
You'll have to see episode 9... of Monarch, because they start to explain it.
Only on Apple TV.
Only on Apple TV, baby. Pay me! Yeah, but Yeah, it's just that they didn't, like, again, this is more like the old Toho ones where they're just ancient beings that exist. And then there's like a weird explanation right. of why they're so ancient in the new episode. I really liked what this last episode did for the lore. It's like the happiest I've ever been with Godzilla bullshit. Because I've always loved Godzilla stuff, but it's definitely always involved a good leap of faith.
Can I give you one bit of news about this monster monarch show? It is the world's most pirated show.
Number one. I haven't even pirated it.
Dude, you know how happy that makes me for
Durs? But like apparently it tops the charts.
That's because no one's getting Apple Plus or Apple TV.
We're trying. Jake keeps showing up at my window menacingly.
Dude, I genuinely, like, I feel like Apple TV's as good right now as Netflix was like 10 years ago.
I know. Dude, they got Charlie Brown.
The Charlie Brown shit's a little bit weak. Don't get too excited about that.
I mean, Charlie Brown Christmas, though.
Yeah, the old stuff they have that they bought the license to is dope. The new Charlie Brown specials they've been doing and the new Snoopy show are okay.
They're ass? No,
they're
fine.
They're okay. They're not going to be classics. It's like a Pac-Man Christmas.
Maybe they will.
Have you
Pac-Man
Have you Christmas. Checked out Foundation on Apple TV at all?
Yeah.
Eh? What do you think?
It's a,
I read the books, or at least the first two.
It's good. It's too serious and slow for me to be watching at night.
That's fair.
But it's good. Like, it's one of those things that I wish I had the bandwidth to watch without getting sleepy. But it's a bit procedural.
Okay. Because, I read at least the first two books, and I enjoyed the series.
Yeah, and I have it in my watch list, so every time a new season happens, it shows up or a new episode pops up, and I'm like, fuck, I need to, like, on a Saturday when I wake up early and I'm cleaning, just, like, throw that on, put on some headphones, and pay attention to it while I'm doing all my chores, but I never remember.
Mm-hmm.
Severance?
Yeah, I've seen one episode.
God, I wish I had that so I could disconnect from what I do at work.
Yeah, but then what if you were...
Nah, that sounds like a nightmarish hellscape. It's
so crazy. But the Jesus and Christopher Walken hook up, so there's beauty in there.
Totoro and Walken?
Are...
They fuck?
They become a very cute couple-ish.
Hey, you fuck my ass.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Sorry, you said they were a cute couple, and I took it right to set.
Yeah, I immediately started picturing who would be on top.
Walken. It's got to be...
I don't know. Is it?
It's our Broadcast Geeks poll of the week.
Whose poll would it be?
Hey, come on. I want to fuck you in the ass.
I can't now. Even picture Totoro's voice to try it.
No, he likes feet. Well, he played a character in that Adam Sandler movie, Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds, yeah.
He does love feet. He gets to stab his foot.
I love feet, sir.
I see him as a bottom to Walken's top, for sure.
I think their characters, though, he might be the top in the show.
See, that would be compelling TV if that was the case.
But Mitch, what if you got turned out by a dude at work because your work brain doesn't know you're straight outside of work? And it's just trying to figure shit out.
Oh shit, that'd horny, be fucked up.
And it lets some dude pork you.
I'm like driving home and I was like, why do I taste dick?
Why would you know what that tastes like, first of all? Second of all.
I don't know.
Second of all, yeah. Or if you were just like, every time I leave work, my butt hurts. How am I getting
these? You get these visions of a place called the Glory Hole.
Uh-uh. No visions.
No visions.
No.
Separate part of the brain.
Your brain's just severed.
Completely severed. Dude, that's the creepy part about it is it's not even like these people have an inkling. So you run into the person who's like mentally abusing you at work outside of work, And some people don't have the severance thing that work there. So there's like a handful of people in the upper management who aren't severed because they're monitoring the program. So like you'll see people who are severed running into non-severed people in normal life and the way they interact where like they don't know that they're coworkers or that that's their boss.
Oh, that's weird. That's fucked. Dude, that's
it's fucked. Fucking crazy. The show is insane. I'm telling you guys, like that's a show we could do a whole season on.
I mean, I watched the first episode. I guess it's got to get better. I'll try it again.
It does. It's a slow build up. And it, like the first episode, maybe like the first episode and a half is very much about establishing the weird, like linear, liminar. What do you call it? Liminal space. Like they're establishing that this exists in this weird universe that's kind of in the uncanny valley. And then they start breaking down. Like once creepy shit starts creeping into what you're watching, it's a rapid descent into like what the fuck.
I'm in.
Sounds scary.
It's not. It's like a classic case of like it's not scary. It's thrilling.
It's a thriller. Yeah,
Like there's never jump scares. Like it's not that kind of thing. It's just like. You're watching it through the eyes of people who don't know who they are. So, like, you're learning shit with these characters like a toddler would. Like, it's not the kind of data you get in a normal mystery when they're in work. You're getting very infantile data about what's going on and trying to figure out what's getting done to these people. And then when they're outside of work, it's like a very adult, normal storyline. But there's this like bananas amount of information you've got from this toddler brain fuck inside, and you're trying to figure out like what means what, if there's any actual correlation to some of the interactions and the like. It's fucking nuts, dude. And then like Ben Stiller published like employee handbooks that help you figure out what's going on in the show. You put them out online for free.
That's pretty cool. That sounds a lot like homework, though, Jay. Oh, it is,
but it's the kind you'll be excited for if you watch the show, like you were at the beginning of Marvel for all the homework we had back then.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah, when you'd be like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That's back when it was like, I want to do the homework,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I get it, Mitch.
Well, I'll definitely... So I have to. Where do you get these booklets that go along with Severance? Do I have to buy them? Can I download them?
Online. He just published them online for free. You can get them on Reddit. You could probably just Google it and download a PDF. But watch the show first before you read the pamphlets.
Why? I thought you said the pamphlets were to help you figure out what's going on.
But it'll spoil shit if you read it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good.
Because it's like a complicated, slow mystery. Man, there's so many mind fucks. I can't wait for the second season. It was supposed to come out this fall. COVID fucked everything. Or not COVID. The strikes fucked everything up. So I don't know when it's coming out now.
Well, the fact that Severance only has one season really makes it easier for me to watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because then I'm not as intimidated thinking, oh, God, I have to watch two seasons of shit.
Dude. Oh, what's the one guy's name? There's this guy who's like their manager while they're inside who like monitors this work pod you're watching.
Dylan? No. Let's see. I'm looking at the cast right now.
No, not Dylan. He's the guy from Spider-Man, right? And Shang-Chi?
No.
He's the chubby guy that takes a picture.
Who? Zach Cherry is his name? I don't think so.
Jack Cherry?
Zach Cherry. Oh, he was in Shang-Chi. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's the nerd that takes pictures of the superheroes.
Okay. Yes.
So, no, he's not also him.
In Crashing. All right. What does the person look like?
I'm pulling up the cast.
Okay. Because I'm looking at the cast right now, and I don't really know a lot of these people.
It's Tramell Tillman. That guy.
Tramell Tillman?
Milchick. Okay. Milchick plays a... Milchick is like such a mind fuck of a character, and the actor is doing such an incredible creepy job of playing this guy who's like threatening everyone with a smile. Like all these people inside, like again, don't know who they are on the outside, and they don't really know the rules of society. They just know the rules of work. And this guy treats them very much like kids that he's allowed to kill. But it's like weird, soft-handed threats. He is terrifying. They have a dance party at one point where he dances with them.
Yeah.
And it's like the joy that he can just like flick on and then flick off when he goes back to being a monster is really scary.
Okay. I'll have to give it another shot. And like I said, because it's one season, I'm able to do it.
How many episodes is in the season, though?
Hey, Mitch, you'll find out when it ends and says, see you next season. If I give you a number, you'll make it feel like homework. Just do it.
You're right. If only I had something I could look up how much homework there is and decide
whether you watch Real Husbands. I think
it's safe to say it's under 20 episodes. How about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like 8 or 9.
No, I think it's 19.
You know what? I actually did watch a little bit of Real Husbands.
Oh, God, that show is
because funny. There was a channel that was just above the Baywatch channel that was playing a marathon of Real Husbands. Dude.
So funny.
Pretty funny.
It's a treasure.
I love when he gets a clone.
I can't remember specifics.
Oh, the Netflix season?
Yeah, yeah. And he's negotiating. And he just keeps going up. And it's like, he does a really good job. Like, I've never really given Kevin Hart that much credit. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah.
And he's really good at doing, like, self-deprecating humor. And coming out, making himself look like a caricature. It's really well done.
I was impressed that he played the clones all differently so well.
Yes.
Like, very impressed, actually, that Kevin Hart was able to, like, be that one character that's just like, it's okay, baby. What are you talking about, Dr. Phil? You know, I'm just here for her. And then he's playing that
other guy. I'm going to have to watch the earlier stuff. I don't know. I can't get it.
Amazon Freevee. It's literally free.
Yeah, commercial, so.
Yeah, but that's like the only way to get it. That's who has the...
I lose my will to watch things when I have to suffer through commercials because I feel like it adds a lot more time to my viewing.
To be fair, okay. The longest the commercials will be in any given episode on this Freevee is 2 minutes total.
Okay.
It's 1 minute twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's the longest. Sometimes they're 30 seconds, sometimes they're 15 seconds, but there's 2 ad breaks per episode.
All right, I can handle that.
Yeah, Freevee really takes the hit out of ads, for sure.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I do.
Yeah, I do too, man. That's why I have a number for you on how long... Because I was like, I'm going to watch this because the Netflix one was so good. And then immediately was like, oh, shit, that's all the ads they're running? I guess this didn't cost them much to syndicate.
Hmm. All right, well, that works out.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Fuck. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It makes me laugh so hard. I was showing it to somebody else, and then they've been like, dude, I can't stop watching it. I'm like, I know. It's like having another Curb Your Enthusiasm that's even more outrageous.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if I should just get it. Let me look.
It's like 6 seasons, I think.
Yeah, I just want to see the first, and then I'll go from there.
I thought you were talking about buying it.
No. What?
Physical media.
You knew me, buddy.
I do. That's why I was like, don't buy 6 seasons of that show. It's free.
No.
Matt always supports his local library.
I do. I do. And
that's good, because I just found out Barnes & Noble is going to go out of business.
Again?
That's right.
They're closing 600 stores. Because nobody reads books no more.
Yeah, they've also cornered the market on a lot of shit people don't think of, like toys and games and puzzles.
Yeah, that sucks, because you can always find some cool shit.
You know what I think one of their big mistakes was? Not maintaining, and I understand the competition, but not maintaining their Nook or something like it and trying to expand. I think that could have worked for them, but what do I know?
Their what?
Their Nook. It was their tablet.
Their version of the Kindle?
Yeah. Oh, I remember what you're... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. Okay. I thought they had like a special area in the store that was like a hookah lounge or something called the Nook that you like to read in.
No, but last year around Christmas, actually right after Christmas, I believe they did... 50% off. Now, normally they do it on hardcovers, but they had it on board games as well. So I bought a bunch of board games last year from there.
Yeah.
I prefer local shops, but I wanted some games and I got them cheap. So it's hard to pass up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just found all five cheap seasons game of Real Husband.
Nice.
All right, continue. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what else I'm
watching. Can I talk about this thing on
Vegas? Yeah.
Really?
Now, which Baywatch are you talking about? Like the old...
The OG shit.
Baywatch at night? Baywatch after dark?
No, regular Baywatch. Not fucking Baywatch nights, and certainly not the last two seasons Baywatch Hawaii, okay? As soon as they moved out of California, I don't do that shit. I
had a huge crush on Nicole Eggert.
Nicole Eggert's on it. Of course, Pamela. Yasmine Bleeth.
Also.
David Hasselhoff. Baywatch was big in the Jones household growing up for some reason, so like I have a weird affinity for it. I remember my parents watching Baywatch a lot, which was weird.
They found a show that got them both hard.
I like
Baywatch. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Baywatch is always has a soft place in my heart because it's the one of the only and possibly the only show that portrays a character named Mitch in a positive light.
Oh yeah, Hasselhoff,
Mitch Buchanan. Every other time you fucking someone's like, "Where's that guy Mitch?" He's like the popcorn butter boy that's spilling all the shit. Oh, I have to check with my manager. Like,
I feel for you as someone named Jake.
It's right. What's your representation? State Farm?
That's the best one. That's the only Jake with like a job who's doing his job well. Every other one is a dipshit, like Jake Peralta or Jake the Snake who got diddled by Duddy.
Or Jake Busey.
Yeah, Jake so Busey. Yeah, just...
Cock-a-doodie Jake Busey.
Big old
Busey.
Run of not serious men.
We actually call you Jake from Allstate. Well, I don't know why. It wasn't even in an Allstate.
Hell yeah.
But that's what we call you here.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
That's pretty good.
Can I do that voice?
No.
Oh, well, I'm going to cut that out for sure.
I mean, like, you can do that impression, but you can't do that voice. You'd have to practice the voice and get a little bit more dialed in to do it.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
You can do that voice.
I'm not dialed in.
That was good.
Oh, okay, good. All right, I'm still going to cut this part out. Fuck, dude. What else have I been... Oh, the shit I was watching in Baywatch. All right, so Baywatch. All right, so I got obsessed with this one part. It's not what you think. So there's an episode called... Bachelor of the Month, And it's season 7, episode 12. At the beginning of it, Caroline, played by sweet Yasmin Bleeth, is having a contemplative bikini reminiscence of how she's so sad that her fiance Logan cheated on her.
Okay.
So she, but the song that plays, it's a fucking banger, dude. It's a fucking banger of a song. It sounds like it could be like an 80s or a 90s like pop song. And it was so good that I jumped up off the couch to Shazam it. And it was unshazamable. It's unshazamable. So,
what song was it? No, what? I'm flabbergasted by this.
It was unshazamable, Matt. So I had to do a deep dive. I got to go Baywatch season 7 episode 12 Yasmin Bleeth sad song Google. And I found out it's a song called Sherry by a lady named Sherry Stone. It's a song called Piece of My Heart. But here's the interesting part, fellas. The song doesn't exist. Nowhere. Not on YouTube. Not on fucking Spotify. Not on anything you could ever watch.
What? Not even a soundtrack?
Because the only recorded instance of this song in all of history is in season 7, episode 12 of Baywatch.
Dude, that's true with all kinds of music from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. So I'm very bummed that I couldn't find the MP3 of
that.
What is
the name of it again?
Because it was a banger. It was a song called Sherry, Shari, Stone is the last name. And it's a song called Piece of My Heart.
Yeah, I bet.
You can't even YouTube it.
I bet you can find it.
Oh, but you know what? Did you say you bet that I could find it?
I bet I could find it.
You don't have to because I already did.
Okay, you did. You found an MP3.
Here's the thing.
You found it?
Well, I made one. I fucking made one.
YouTube?
You know I'm a huge Tony Stark fan, so when I have an obstacle that I can't pass, I build a better solution.
Yeah.
So some random, like, YouTube account uploaded that montage of Yasmin being sad of that clip of Baywatch, and your boy reverse engineered an MP3. So if y'all want... If y'all want some of the forbidden song.
Now, wait a minute. Was it Sherry?
I can email it to
Sherry
you.
Sherry Short or Sherry Stone?
No, it's Sherry.
It's Stone. Short because I'm looking up here.
It's Short. You're right. It's Sherry Short. Here's I'm an idiot. But I found it.
Oh, wait. No.
Where?
Preview not available. It's season 7, episode.
That's what I'm saying.
Bachelor of the Month soundtrack. But.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to, because I already got Sherry Short's.
Awesome.
I already got it. Okay. I reverse engineered it. So if you guys want me to put that in the Dropbox, or I can put it on the Reddit. I'll put it on the Reddit.
Who? Yes. If that was the only recording was for that show, who put was it NBC? Baywatch.
What? I think it was NBC or was it CBS? Yeah. Why is I don't know. CBS seems like too lame of a network to have hot babes on
it. CBS was for retired folks back then. ABC had just become Disney. I believe it was NBC. It might have been Fox, but I think it was NBC. It might have switched when it went Baywatch Nights.
Oh, Baywatch Nights, dude. What if there was... Hey, Mitch, there's a werewolf on the beach. Here's a gun for some reason.
Yeah. What if Kolchak was a fucking lifeguard? I'm so glad you got that reference.
Why isn't it say the no?
Kolchak.
You ever watch The Night Stalker?
Yeah, dude. It's a fucking banger
dude,
of a show.
I didn't know your dad smoked weed, too.
No. Reese watches it, so I watch it over at his house.
Reese's
he's
dad
like...
definitely smoked weed. You could tell that sperm swam yeah. in a circle.
NBC is the Baywatch.
Dude, if the
network.
Only instance of that song is recorded and published by NBC, they own it. I'm sure if you hit them up, they'd send you an actual copy of it.
Ooh.
What? how do I do this? Do I know anybody that works for NBC Universal?
I could probably figure out the email you need to send something to.
No. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to blow up your spot like that. No, I genuinely
wasn't thinking about the fact that I did. But no. I just know that because my buddy did a song for a CBS show, and the only people that, like, he had to, like, sign away the rights to that song for them. He did it on fucking Jericho. And the only way we could, any of us could get copies of it, was we had to, like, make a request, and it took forever, but we did get little, like, burned CDs copies of it from CBS.
Dude, that's cool. Do you think they would still burn us a CD? They'd probably for just me?
Send you an MP3.
I mean, I don't give a fuck if they send me a CD. I'll rip
probably
it.
Probably send you a link to a site where you can download it.
Okay, so. I mean, it sounds better if I kind of, if you point me in the right direction. Because if I just start, like, tagging NBC and being like, I need the song from season 7, episode 12 of Baywatch, 1997. I feel like that's how they, like, have a tank run over me on right in front of their studios.
No, you just go to Universal Publishing and send them an email. They pay interns to read those. And that's, like, one they could actually respond to. Because it's usually people being like,
wait, are they just,
why doesn't Scrubs have the soundtrack on Netflix? I hate all of you. Or Friends doesn't sound the same on Hulu.
I totally get that because I bought the DVD sets for Married with Children back before they regained the rights to use Love and Marriage. And man, that replacement track they put made me want to go full Baco. And
it does ruin Scrubs.
What, because it doesn't have all the needle drops?
Yeah, because they, like, that was such a big part of what the writers were doing. They knew what music they were going to use and planned around it for, like, the scenes. So then when you just drop in, like, generic royalty-free music, it kind of fucks up the vibe in a lot of shots.
Right. This is supposed to be how to save a life, goddammit. They were
doing, like, music video shots.
I like that episode with Colin Day. Colin Hayes. Colin Hayes from Men at Work.
Oh, yeah.
I Can't Get to Sleep. The guy who's playing the guitar and singing throughout the whole episode.
Fuck yeah.
That was a good episode. I like that show.
It was a great show.
Yeah, it really was. You could feel the relationship between the two of them.
Yeah.
It was genuine, so it made for a better show.
Yeah, it's still genuine. It's adorable to see them together now.
Yeah, they did a commercial. I saw recently.
They did a bunch of podcasts too and shit during shutdown. And,
oh, nice.
Have any of you watched the new Little Richard documentary?
No. Piano Riff Woo?
I'll beat your teeth in if you ever call him that again. I'm joking. You mean... The god of rock and roll. It's called
exactly.
It's called Little Richard. I Am Everything on Max. It's very good.
Mad Max.
Oh shit, dude! I haven't opened Max in a long time.
Their new Little Richard documentary is killer. Little Richard doesn't give enough respect, and I'm very appreciative that there was an executive at the Disney Channel when I was a child who thought it was necessary to put, oh, fuck, now I can't pull the other guy. Who was the old gay comedian who would throw glitter?
Rip Taylor.
I wanted to say Rip Torn, and I knew that was wrong. Thank you. Disney Channel executive
Rip
when
Taylor.
Me and children, when the Disney Channel started to have, like, live-action comedies, who put Rip Taylor and fucking Little Richard in goddamn everything. And it, like, I am so grateful to that person for doing that so that when I was watching it with my stoner mother, it would turn into her showing me everything about them that we were able to find in the 90s because it ruled. But, yeah, like, it's just, like, a weird memory I have as a kid that they would just show up on, like, the Lawrence Brothers show or, like, anything that was live action on Disney. It'd just be, like, Rip Taylor walking through at the end, like, and that's the end of the season. Did you have fun? Just throwing glitter. And
we
it was
did
like,
it. We did
it. You remember that?
No, I remember him at the end of the Jackass movie. It's over. It's over.
He did that on the Lawrence Brothers show for sure. And like, yeah, and like Little Richard would show up as just like a cameo in a bunch of those series when he was like old and scary looking. And it ruled. It just looked like Prince's scary older brother.
Creepy uncle.
But ever since I was a kid, my mom showed me all of his albums because she had a bunch of his LPs. Man, dude, I've always loved Little Richard. I think he's the motherfucking shit. Yeah, I've always
appreciated him.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, dude, he's the king of the rings.
Yeah, man.
Always got some snazzy rings.
And he's got so many bangers, and it doesn't get enough play. Everybody just knows Tutti Frutti.
Sorry, I tried to mute.
Tutti Frutti and fucking the other one. I can't.
Good Golly Miss Molly?
Yeah, Good Golly Miss Molly. But, like, man, all this deep cuts and shit, like, it's just... You could throw on the Little Richard station on Spotify and that could just be your whole fucking day, man. He rules. He's so fucking talented.
I like me some Little Richard.
Yeah, like if you like Elvis, you should check out Little Richard because it's like that, but natural.
I don't like Elvis.
I do.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
I don't. I'd rather hear the people that wrote the music sing the music, but not always, I suppose.
Well, yeah, and I don't necessarily like his like straight up rocking. I like Elvis's like weird shit better than his popular shit, I think. Like I like his weird ballads.
I struggle with the fact that he is in the Hall of Fame, but there are all kinds of musicians that wrote all the music that were doing it, but because they were black or whatever, aren't even considered, and it just feels kind of weird.
That being said, I think if Elvis had been alive when all this shit started getting poured on him, that he would have been loud, because he was public about a lot of that back then. It was just no one gave a fuck.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, because... Like, the artists that were contemporary with him, there's a couple that are bitter, but a lot of them are like, he never tried to steal credit for what he did. And what he did was kind of also a normal practice in music back then. It's just the fact that history's totally acted like he came up with everything. Yeah.
Yup. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
But he gave cars away, like, year.
Nobody gives away cars except for the king.
He famously, like, if you told him you liked his car, he would give it to you.
Really?
Oh, you liked his car, mama? I'll give it to you right now. That's more Johnny Bravo. 1 year,
I think he gave away 58 Cadillacs.
What?
And that's back when a Cadillac in today's money would be like $130,000.
Jesus. Hey there, king. Well, hey, Joe, Johnny Cash. I'll lock your Cadillac. I can't do it.
That's two hard voices to bounce through. Yeah,
right. That's you need to do two separate tracks.
Should we wrap it up?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that was a fun thing. Oh wait, hey, another fucking shout out to James Woodman, dude. Those ninja stars. Those ninja stars he made. No, I don't have them. I just saw them on the message. That fucking rules, dude. Those ninja stars are going to be all up in so many trees in Louisville, Colorado.
I asked him for some.
For some ninja stars?
For the cutouts, the broadcast key cutouts.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. Well, shout out James. Shout out JD. Yeah. Happy belated birthday. Shout out Marcelo. Do you even still listen, Marcelo? You haven't popped up in a long time.
He does. I know Mark Williams does in New York.
Yo, Mark, shout out.
And my buddy Mike down in
Florida. And all the rest.
Mike Lawrence.
Hey, Mike in Florida.
Florida man.
Shout out. Florida man. But yeah, you guys rule. We'll keep coming back and making new stuff. If you guys got stuff you want us to talk about, you can always send us an email at broadcastgeeks@gmail.com. You can subscribe to our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, @broadcastgeeks. On Instagram, @broadcast_geeks. I'm trying to get better at posting on those. Or you can go to our subreddit, r/broadcastgeeks. That's where a lot of nothing happens, but we're trying to get some stuff to go. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts until it becomes YouTube Music, or iHeartRadio. I think we're on that too. Right?
That's cool.
Cool. Well, yeah, that's fucking cool. Hey, guys, this was a lot of fun. Don't eat the chicken if it's more than a week old. I think that's was on the pre-show that we didn't put in the actual show. But whatever. Hey, we're going to leave it with a standard sign-off line.
Excelsior.